Well, happy Thursday. I hope the week has gone well for you and that you're looking forward to a wonderful weekend. And we welcome you back to Perspectives. And I'm Tom Flanagan. And thanks so much to Regan McCarthy for so ably filling in this slot last week while I was out doing some family stuff. And thanks again, Regan. We appreciate that. If you want to be part of the conversation, you are always more than welcome at 414-1234, our local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance twixt you and us. If email is your preferred form of communication, it is perspectives@wfsu.org, or send us a tweet at @WFSUperspective. As we mentioned at the outset, a lot of us have critters. We have furry things and feathery things and things with scales and all manner of other animals, because we Americans do love our animals. And sadly, there are a lot of animals that would like to love us, but we either can't accommodate them or just we don't realize what's available out there. So we thought we would do one of our so-called critter conclaves that we have from time to time here on the program by bringing in representatives of people from various organizations that specialize in the care and feeding and placement and fostering of animals. And we'd love to hear your animal tale, too, as it were. So let's go around the table and meet some folks here first, and then we'll get on to the conversational part of the program. First, a big hi, and a first-time hi here to Isabel Parker, foster manager for Cause I Can Care Animal Rescue. How you doing, Isabel?
I am doing great, Tom.
And it is so good to see you here. Last time I saw you was at a local pet store, and you guys were out, and you were doing a foster program and trying to find homes for these little critters. And how's everything at Cause I Can Care right now?
Yeah, there's always a mini crisis, but we solve it, and things get all right in the end. So, you know, it's doing great. It's doing great.
Well, that's great. We want to find out some more about your organization and what it does. We also have from the Leon County Humane Society, the executive director of SAME, Lisa Glund. Lisa, good to see you.
Good morning. I love to be here.
It is always great to welcome you to these microphones. And you've got some news. We wanted to get an update on some recent arrivals that kind of international visitors
yes.
to your organization from a dog meat farm in South Korea.
That's right. The dogs arrived about 3 weeks ago now. They all went immediately into awesome foster homes. All the foster homes have other dogs, so the dogs are learning a lot from them, and they're gaining their confidence from their foster siblings, and they are doing wonderful. We've seen huge improvements in them already. They're doing wonderful.
I know what it looked like that first weekend that you had them there, and they were just some of the most forlorn and downtrodden animals imaginable.
Yeah, they were terrified. I mean, they've lived their whole lives in tiny, filthy kennels, so freedom was shocking to them and overwhelming, but like I said, they're with some of the best foster parents they could, and we just put the first one that is available for adoption up on our website yesterday, Daphne. And it's actually one of our staff members that is fostering her, and Deidre, the foster, and her dog Bullwinkle have helped Daphne incredibly.
Can't wait to see those guys again, because they were just so cute when they came in. But, you know, a little bit underweight.
Yes.
Especially
to
in
say
the
least.
In the case of the male Lexi, he was about 50 pounds down. So it'd be great to see them there. Well, while we're talking about animal rescue, certainly we have the Tallahassee Leon County Animal Services Center and second in command out there, Michael St. John. You guys just did a rescue yesterday. Got in the paper and on TV and everything there, Michael.
Yes, it did. We had a call. One of our officers went out with a call from a neighbor about animal abuse, and when he arrived there on the scene, the neighbor had actually made a video of the incident. So he contacted, after seeing the video, he contacted TPD. They came out, looked at it, and made an arrest. So we do have the dog at the shelter right now. Of course, it's still an active case, so we can't say much about it, but we do have the animal there. We're taking care of him, and then they're just proceeding with the law enforcement's proceeding with this, and we'll see how it comes out.
Well, the Animal Services Center also has a staff veterinarian and all that
we
kind
do.
Of thing, so yeah.
Yes, we do. We have two vets on staff, and then if there's something that we can't handle, we send the animals out to a local vet for x-rays, things like that.
You know, a lot of these problems would not be as exacerbated as they are if we had really fewer unwanted pets, and that's where Jerry Phipps co-founder and president of Be the Solution, mm-hmm. comes in. And you guys been, what, how many years now you've been up and running?
We are celebrating 10 years.
Yay.
Oh, my God.
10 years. I cannot believe it. And I look the same.
None the worse for wear. Yeah.
Kidding.
How many spay and neuter procedures have you guys made possible in that 10-year span? It's got to be a ton.
Well, funny you ask that, because we hit 20,000 this summer. I think it was last month. So we're 20,000. We do 300 surgeries a month. So every month, another 300 rolls over. So 20,000 spay and neuters. And it's not, I mean, we raise the money, but it's the local veterinarians that deserve the yay, because they do the surgeries for next to nothing. And without them, we couldn't have done this.
But still, despite these kinds of best efforts, we still have more
yeah.
kittens, puppies, all that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
We need to reach more people.
Exactly. And Isabel Parker, where do the animals that cause I Can Care, where do they come from? Are they just ferals that are picked up, or people surrender them because they can't take care of them anymore? What happens there?
Well, the majority of the animals that we take into our foster program, we get from local shelters. Predominantly, we do pull from the Waco shelter, mostly, because it's a little rural shelter and they don't really have anybody, you know, helping them. So we've sort of adopted them as our resident shelter. But I also have taken some dogs from, you know, different places. Owner surrenders are fine. I've taken some of them, not as many. I try to guide them into, you know, maybe they have some problems that could be solved. We have different people that work with us that will volunteer their time to help people. You know, just if it's a talk on the phone, if it's going out there for a visit once, is it a behavioral issue? You know, we try to help and keep that dog where it is if we can. One thing I get a lot of call from, and I know you guys can probably give some authoritative information on this, is people find dogs and they think they can just give them away. I mean, they don't go check for microchips. They don't, I found this dog. I got to find it a home or I'm going to keep it. And even if the dog looks terrible, it could have an owner out there that, you know, it got lost or, you know, might have been gone a few weeks. But I don't think people realize that it's illegal to just take a dog and rehome it or keep it without going through certain processes. Mm. And mm. I think it's a little different in every county, and y'all probably
get some too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we get them from all different avenues, mostly from shelters, and then bring them into homes and give them manners, feed them, get them healthy. Some have significant health issues when we get them. Others don't.
You mentioned the chipping thing. Just personal experience found that to be a very viable topic, because several years ago I came home from the station after work one day, and my wife says, there's a project for you in the front yard. And I looked down, here's this black and white cat that was, and I called it, and it came running over, obviously, you know, somebody's pet. And we found that there was a chip, in fact, and it had come from right down the street. The family, though, had moved to California. The cat decided, no, I like Tallahassee better, and had run off while the family was in the process of packing up. So I called the family. Yeah, luckily, there was a contact number, a cell phone number, and I called out there, said, you guys want your cat back? I said, no, you can keep her.
That's your current cat, isn't it?
That was the one we were able to find a home for. And thank you again, Erica Thaler and Ryden Thaler, for picking up on Oreo. But that happens a lot, and people don't realize, I think, that they are strays. And so how do you chip them? You just take them to a vet, or can you buy a chip wand, or what do you do there, guys?
It's funny that you ask that, because we actually, at the animal shelter, we do a low-cost rabies and microchip clinic the first Tuesday of every month from 3 to 5. And we get, I mean, lots and lots of people come out. But it's a $10 fee for the chip, a $5 fee for the rabies. And our veterinarians do it there on site. Reasonably quick process. You just got to get through the line. But it's a great way to keep up with your pet. They're pre-registered, so we put that information in for you. And we've had some excellent success in the shelter with microchips. We actually had a situation. I was working on a Sunday, and a woman came in. As soon as we opened, just in tears, her dog had gotten out. And it wasn't there at the shelter, but she had done everything right. She had all the information. She had a picture of the dog. She had all the information on the dog. She even had the microchip number, and she wrote that on her lost form. And sure enough, that afternoon, a couple came in. They had found a little dog running around. We scanned it. Voila. Recognized the chip. I was able to call her, and they were reunited, you know, just in a matter of hours. So we certainly encourage that, and it's a very cheap investment. And in answer to your question, yes, ours is a very low-cost way to do that. Even if we're not having a clinic, you can come by, and it's $16 to have a chip. As long as we have a vet on staff, we can do it. The other thing you can do is go to your own veterinarian if you'd prefer to have the chip done there. You cannot do it yourself. There's not really a way to do that. It's actually considered a surgical procedure in Florida, so it has to be done at a medical facility, which is why we have to do them there at the shelter. But it's definitely worth the money. Mm-hmm. You know, however you determine that you want to have it done, I would certainly do it.
Yeah, that is definitely worth it.
Yes.
And while we are, Michael, in your neck of the woods here, too, you guys are having a special promotion right now, I think, on beach animals, if I am not mistaken. Oh. Right?
Well, I mean, right now we're trying to move any animals that we can. It's been a super, super busy year this year. I don't know if it's the weather or what, but like kitten season never ended. Puppy season never ended. We have so many animals in. We're trying to, you know, get them adopted and keep up with our intakes. We're doing pretty well so far, but we still have a full shelter. So definitely want to move some guys out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Lisa, in your case, bearing up on a break, but one thing I want everyone to be thinking of, if we could, how you go about vetting not just the animals, but also the prospective homes for those animals, too, because I know that worries a lot of people. Oh, you just, with the amount of animal abuse that just seems to be epidemic right now, how can you tell that you are connecting an animal with someone who's really, really going to take care of it and give it all the love and attention that it needs right there? That's coming up right here on Perspectives, and we are talking with representatives of folks from various and sundry animal welfare organizations here in the Tallahassee area. We'd love to hear your animal story, too, at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809 for Perspectives. We'll be right back. Welcome back on Perspectives at 414-1234, 800-926-8809, and we are talking animals today. And it is a very timely time to be talking about animals because, did you know it is National Black Cat Appreciation Day?
Oh.
That's right. Black cats matter. Now, remember that. That's it.
Absolutely.
And a quick aside here on this saga of a particular little black cat. Over in Destin, Florida, you know where Highway 98 goes over the pass there between Destin and Okaloosa Island. A couple weeks ago, a charter boat captain, Captain Smith, was piloting his craft over to the dock to pick up his charter for the day. And as he's going under the bridge, he hears a splash behind him. He looks back. There are these two little orange eyes bobbing helplessly in the drink. He wheels the boat around, grabs a net, literally fishes the cat out of the water, this little black cat that someone had thrown off the Highway 98 bridge.
That's so sad.
Got it to a vet, and he named it Miracle. And I'm going to call over the Northwest Florida Daily News later today, get a miracle update and see what's going on with that. But very nice. Sweet thing. Captain Smith wants to adopt it, even though he's got a big old dog at the house. Says, I think I can take it in. And we'll take care of it there. So anyway, how could you tell if a family that comes to you, either in Cause I Can Care, Isabel, or at the shelter, Michael, or however, that's going to be a good fit? these are good people. They're going to take care of the animal, and we should have minimum problems. What kind of procedure do you go through, Isabel? Is it just, you know, here's an animal. Have fun.
Oh, no. We have an adoption application, and it asks quite a few questions, actually, because we want, you know, these dogs or cats have probably come from a not good situation to start with. We feel like we've saved their life. We're giving them another chance. So we want to make sure where they go is not only a good home, but a good fit. And the good fit even matters a little bit more, because if it doesn't fit in with the lifestyle of that family or with the other pets within the household, then it's going to be a return, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we try to not let that happen. And if there's an application process, we do check vet references, because if they have animals and they're not keeping those animals up to date, they won't do a new one. If they rent, we also check their rental. Will their landlord allow pets, and if there are any breed restrictions? And then lastly, we do a home visit with the animal that they've selected that they're interested in. So we bring the dog out, introduce them to the other animals within their household, and you can sort of get an idea there whether, you know, it might work or this dog might fit in. I mean, they might have cats, they might have ferrets. I mean, you don't know what they've got. And then after that, they can adopt the animal. So some people think, well, gee, that's a lot. But it's not really. I mean, we want to make sure that at least these guys have a second chance, and it's going to work for everybody involved.
Sure. Michael St. John, same thing with the shelter.
We have a similar process. We don't do the home visit, but we do, you know, we have records on other animals if they've adopted in the past, and we kind of have an idea, you know, well, how did that work out for you? Was it a good fit? Would you rather, you know, is there something you'd like to look for this time? And so we talk to people that way. We encourage them to bring their animals in for a meet and greet with the proposed new pet so that they have a chance to see how they get along. And, you know, if they have kids, you know, definitely bring the family in. You know, let's everybody get comfortable with this. And as you say, we want that to be a good experience for the animal and for the family as well, because if you have a good adoption experience with this dog or cat, then, you know, hopefully you're going to come back or you're going to look at other rescues and adopt in the future, because that's what we need to happen, is everyone should rescue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing with Humane Society, Lisa?
Yeah, very similar. All rescues kind of have their own way of doing the adoption process, but we have an application. We kind of use that as a guide because we've found that communication with the potential adopter is always the best thing. So oftentimes, you know, you can look at a questionnaire and think, oh my gosh, there's no way that this person's going to be a good fit for the animal. But then in speaking with them, oftentimes, you know, they're just a question on paper only tells you so much. So there are lots of things in terms of, you know, other pets that they might have. Sometimes they just need to bring that animal in if they have a dog at home and they don't know how it is with a cat, but they want a kitten. It's just letting them know how to introduce them correctly, inviting them in to bring the dog in. You know, what better place to test it with cats than around 60 kittens. So, I mean, we really try to make sure that it's a good process for the person and the animal, because like everyone else, we want to make good matches so that hopefully they'll stay together. And if it's not the right fit for the lifestyle or the family, then we encourage them to bring it back and we'll try to help find a better match for them.
Okay. And Jerry Phipson, the bees, the solution thing, since you guys are focused on spaying and neutering and all that, how do you interface with these other organizations as far as what you guys do, what they do?
Right. Well, first of all, I always adopt from the animal shelter. Every single time. Those are the ones that need it, I think.
I can vouch for that. That's
yes, true. She's seen me there. Well, the way that we work with the other organizations is if they need vouchers, if they need financial aid, and they have our spay and neuter vouchers. And if it were not for our organizations, Gadsden County Humane Society, Leon County Humane Society, Causacan, I know Wakulla Animal Control has our vouchers,
yes.
And they give them all out there. We would not reach as many people as we do. I mean, because we sit in our thrift shop, The Fix Thrift Shop, and write our vouchers there. So anyway, to have these people out in the field, oh gosh, there's so many other groups too. Now that I'm thinking about it, we really do reach a lot of people, and I think that's why we do 300 surgeries a month.
Yeah, I know.
It's a group effort.
Yeah, absolutely. And we refer people to them all the time.
Yeah.
If they come to the shelter and they're asking about pets they have, then we certainly, so we're just around the corner here.
Right.
And then the other thing, of course, is that the solutions at our rabies and microchip clinics every month. So they have a table set up out there. So,
but it's a group thing.
Yes,
if it weren't
absolutely.
For all the people who are out there helping us get the word out, I mean, it's been incredible.
Yeah, and you guys also do, well, okay, Address for the Fix.
1210 Capital Circle Southeast, Tallahassee. Yeah, 298-1129.
Yeah, and that is the same shopping center. I think they're right at the corner of Appalachian Parkway and Capital Circle. That's where the elections office just moved and everything else is right there.
Absolutely. So, yeah. The tag office is still there, but that fixed thrift shop makes us most of the money that we need to pay for the surgeries.
Yeah, and you guys also do some other special events and stuff as fundraisers too, right?
Well, yeah, we have our annual pet photo contest, Tally Top Pet, which we're going to start up again next year. We took a break off to do some house cleaning. So we got some things done that we needed to get done. So we'll start that again next year. So they can always – there are ways to give. BeTheSolution.us.
Yes, well, let's get let's get into that as to what you guys need as far as whether it's volunteer help or money, of course, always the right color and the right size and all that kind of thing. But Isabel Park, as far as Cause I Can Care, what else do you guys need?
Fosters. We desperately need fosters because unlike the Humane Society and Animal Services, we don't have a facility. It's all pretty much based on foster homes. So sometimes we never have enough fosters. Let's just admit that. Nobody ever has enough fosters. There's too many, dogs, cats out there to do that. But it's a rewarding endeavor. It gives families with children an opportunity to experience an animal where they might not be able to keep one or to have a companion for their pet for a little span of time. They can get community service hours or service hours for school for volunteering with a rescue or any of the organizations, I think, in Tallahassee towards helping, you know, and that would be every place would be doing something different. But for us, we desperately need people to take in a cat or a dog for a limited number of time, give it love, do it some basic commands, feed it, get it doing well, and we do the rest. We do an adoption event every Saturday at the PetSmart on Blairstone and Appalachian Parkway. We've been there since that store opened. We also have a residential kitty kennel in the store, and we've also done that since the store's open. So I have people that I need them to come in and do a cleaning shift at the kitty kennels because PetSmart doesn't maintain that. They just give us the space, and we got to go in twice a day and interact with the kitties because they need some socialization, a little brushing, and everything needs cleaning. So volunteers in almost any respect.
Especially volunteers who love animals, because otherwise, what's the point? As long as we're coming back to you again, Jerry Phipps, Jean sent us an email. She wants you to talk about all the great stuff in the thrift store. So there.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, cool. Oh, my gosh. You could find anything in there every Tuesday. I mean, people are constantly giving to us, and it's wonderful. They give us really gently used, wonderful household items. And you could, I mean, it really just depends. Every single Tuesday, there's just all this new stuff, and they actually will pick up donations. Household goods, lamps, organs, pianos, pet carriers, men's clothing, really good women's clothing. Beautiful paintings, original artwork. People just, they have really nice things, but they don't want it anymore, so they give it to us. And then we turn around and sell it at a pretty good cost or price. So, and every penny of it goes to spay and neuter.
Well, especially since we are now looking at move-in season as far as the new crop of students going into rental housing and all that. They may want something to give that little bit of individuality to their new digs and check you guys out first.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, Michael, as far as the service center is concerned, now, what I really like about the volunteer program you guys have is that whereas with so many places where you find animals, where the volunteers come in, and they're doing a lot of honey dipping and all that kind of stuff. You seem to focus more on the socialization aspect of the volunteers. Now, get up with the animals and, yes, take care of them, but you also want them to kind of play with them and have a good time.
Yes, absolutely. We, you know, part of the problem with some of these animals coming in is they haven't had a lot of socialization and a lot of contact with people. So it's great when our volunteers can come in and work with them, help with work with some of those behavioral issues they may have, like jumping up. And, you know, that's just something that makes it easier for the potential adopter and makes the animal more adoptable. Mm-hmm. And they do still, you know, we of course need volunteers to do things like helping with, you know, walking and feeding and bathing, that sort of thing. But we have a new doggy play yards mm-hmm. now. So we have volunteers that we train and recruit to go out and help work with the dogs in the large groups. And that's just a great way to get some energy out with these guys. And, of course, our kitty cuddlers. You know, we always need people to help with the kitties. So, yes, volunteers and I think also fosters. As you said, everyone needs fosters, you know, especially during puppy and kitten season. You need somebody to take care of those little guys in their homes until they're old enough to be able to eat on their own and have be spayed or neutered and be adopted. So certainly fosters. We also, accept donations at the shelter. One of the kind of interesting things that we've started doing the last couple of years is we have a monthly yard sale the first Saturday of every month at the shelter. And it's only pet-related items. So we're not like a Be the Solution store where you have all kinds of household things and clothes. This is strictly animal stuff. So like if you have old leashes or collars your animals have outgrown, you know, bowls, I bought this bed and he hates it, that sort of thing. If we can use it in the shelter, of course we do that. But anything that we either have too many of or for whatever reason we can't use it, we put it out there and encourage people with pets to come in. And if you want to, you know, get some low-cost items for your animal, do that. And then, of course, every penny that we make also goes back into buying things for the shelter.
Sometimes the strangest little stuff, and we'll get to you in a second here, Lisa, can be helpful when it comes to animal care. I noticed that this is an organization up in the Appalachian Mountains. They started a Wands for Wildlife thing. And Sandy Beck, if you're listening there from St. Francis, this is probably right up your alley. But mascara wands can be used as cleaning devices for small birds.
Ah.
It gets the mites and stuff out of their feathers because it just So if you have a leftover mascara wand, you might want to call up St. Francis Wildlife and give that. Lisa, what do you guys need, Humane Society?
The fosters are always a huge one. Majority of our cats do live in our building, but all of our dogs are foster home-based. We actually don't shy away from student fosters. Some of our best foster parents are students. For students listening, if you live in a place where animals are allowed, you might want to consider it. You know, when people can't make the commitment to owning an animal, a foster home is a great way to give back, but also kind of get that that companionship that you want. We just started our Summer of Savings drive, so some people aren't as comfortable giving dollars, but they want to bring supplies. So people can go to our website and see what's on our wish list for that. And actually, I did want to mention, since you mentioned Black Cat Appreciation Day, we are doing a special with waived fees today for any of our black cats or kittens. So today only, if somebody's looking, we have about 15 black cats and kittens at the office just waiting, and they're super social and very friendly. But, the needs, I think, for all of our groups are, you know, very much the same. Funding, volunteer time and space, and supplies.
Yeah, what is the deal with black cats? Is that just endemic to this part of the country? Because I hear some other shelters just get overdosed with them because of whether it's superstition or something.
I think they just build up because they're harder. You know, dogs too. People, they're not as striking to some people. Some people love them and only go for the black animals. But for a lot of people, they just pass by them quickly. And so then it seems like all of a sudden you have a great number of them in your space. But we have some incredible ones that are looking for homes.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of Cause I Can Care, Isabel, when I came over to see you guys a couple weeks ago, you were having trouble with the kitten situation because of upper respiratory disease, and there seemed to be just a bunch of that was going on. I checked with a couple vets, and they said not really an unusual incidence of it, but it does seem to be pretty widespread, so you couldn't adopt any that weekend.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. When you pull them out of the shelters, you know, they've just been in there, and then you go and you spay and neuter them, you give them shots and things like that, and they're stressed. Cats stress really easily. Mm-hmm. So you're doing these procedures to them, you're moving them from, it might not have been a comfortable place, but at least it was shelter with food, and, you know, they had maybe settled in there, and then you're moving them somewhere else. They just tend to get sick, and it's quickly spread. So I usually try to get them out into foster when that starts, but sometimes that's the first time I wasn't really able to adopt any kitties for like a week or so because it did the whole kennel. And plus, I had about 5 of them out in foster that were sick too. So. But they're all better now. Everybody's fine. Everybody's back.
Well, that's good. But I love the idea, though, about a fostering program for students if they are in accommodations that allow animals. And I am seeing more apartment complexes with the pet-friendly signs out front now. Are you guys seeing that, too, that it's more accepted?
Yeah. We've even had a couple where the students had to pay a pet fee, but if they went in and spoke with their landlord or the complex, they would waive the fee if it was for a foster animal. So
that's
something,
awesome.
If somebody's kind of getting roadblocks, they should really push through and see if there's any way that they can possibly make it happen. Because it saves lives. It really does.
Yeah, and that's something, and I don't know, Michael, if that's something that even can be done from, you know, local government to encourage, you know, rental housing to be more pet accommodating, especially when it comes to the foster situation.
Yeah, we've had the same experience. Yeah, students are great. Great.
We are talking critters, pets, cats, dogs, puppies, kittens, and we have various representatives of organizations that focus on animal welfare and trying to hook up more animals with people. And we'll be right back here on Perspectives after this. Hey, we are back on Perspectives. If you have an animal question or a comment, we got a good group of folks here to talk to you. Michael St. John, Assistant Director of the Tallahassee-Leon County Animal Service Center. Lisa Glund, Executive Director of the Leon County Humane Society. Isabel Parker, Foster Manager for Cause I Can Care Animal Rescue. And Jerry Phipps, President and Co-Founder of Be the Solution. A reminder, you can always find Perspectives online at WFSU.org. Hope you'll visit our new, improved, more user-friendly website. Just go to Radio, pull down Programs, and then click Perspectives. We archive past programs and try to have within about a day or so the most current program up there on the web so you can listen back to it again and again and again forever. What is your favorite? Let's start with you, Isabel. What's your favorite animal story? Everyone has at least one. I'm sure you have a bunch. But anything that just jumps to mind, you think, oh, this was the cutest thing, and I wanted to share that.
Oh, you put me on the spot. I mean, there's just, are you talking a rescue story? Or?
Oh, it could be anything. Just the first thing that pops to your head, because that's usually the best.
I have one.
Jerry's got one. Okay.
Think about it.
We'll come back to you then.
This was the funniest thing that ever happened to me. I was on North Monroe Street heading towards Havana. I had just passed North Florida Animal Hospital. And there's this kitten, tiny kitten, in the median, like right crunched down into the median. So I pulled up into the turn lane and put my blinkers on. And that cat got up underneath my car. It got up in my engine, and there's all this traffic, and people are beeping and honking their horns. So I called North Florida Animal Hospital, and this very cute technician came out, he and another guy, and they were there. People were honking at me, get out of the way. And they got that cat out from inside my car and took it back to North Florida, and they found a home for it.
Oh, so good.
I'm telling you, it was really awesome. That's cool. My favorite.
Why did they always get the engine compartment? That's what I want to know. In the winter, you understand. It's warm, but hey.
It was just something else.
Oh, that's cute. But Michael, you got anything that...
Oh, gosh. I guess, right now, this comes to mind because he's still at our shelter. We have a dog there. We call him Lieutenant Dan because he has two prosthetic back legs. He was abandoned at the shelter. We came in one Saturday morning, and there was a cage sitting out front with this poor little dog in it, and the smell was just incredible. And he had obviously had a very bad injury to his back legs. And anyway, long story short, they had to be amputated, and we worked with Dr. Dreigas over at Capital Veterinary Association, who was excellent, doing surgeries and donating so much of his time. And again, this dog has prosthetics now, and just never lost his good sense of humor, his happy demeanor, and you can hear him clumping all around. I can't keep up with him. So yeah, it's just a really cool ending, you know, for something like that. So,
otherwise, it might be a horrible, sad, tragic story.
Oh no, Dan is just he destroys our front office daily. So
he still needs a home?
He does. At this point, we're still, he just completed his surgery a month or so ago, so we're still trying to get the healing process to finish there before we release him out so that we can cover all the medical stuff.
But what a great personality, you know?
Oh, yeah. He just, always smiling, always happy. So just incredible. Yeah, much more resilient than we would be, probably.
Yeah, most likely. Lisa, anything that you...
I love all animals, but my heart belongs to bulldogs. I'm just such a, there's something about bulldogs. They, no matter what, you can have the cruddiest day and they make you laugh so much. And so I, of course, always get the ones that are seniors and they've got tons of medical issues. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones we had recently, she actually came to us and was basically kind of a hospice case. And we had her for little less than a year, and she was the funniest dog, though. But I tell you what, at our last annual meeting, this dog loved to dance on your leg, and the bulldog dance on your leg,
you
can figure what that means. Well, she, at our annual meeting, she started barking from my office, so I let her out, and she was able to wander around with our membership and everything, and she finds one of our board members whose leg she loves, and she just went on to her dancing right there in front of everybody at our meeting. And it was just the funniest thing, but it's just like in the middle of people telling their stories there and getting their favorite rescues out and tears and, and then this happens. It's just like, that is why there, I could never see not having a rescue bully in our house.
You've got to love then the commercial, the running of the bulldogs, right?
The running of the bulldogs. Yeah. I've been sent it many a time.
And now back to you, Isabel. Anything that you can think of there?
There's just so many, but most of them are all sad in the beginning. I can't think of, anything funny. I mean, but, you see them coming from situations where they're totally downtrodden and sad. We had like a bulldog just recently we called Honey that, she was so thin you could see every bone. It was amazing she was still alive. And, a couple months later after heartworm treatment and, being fed and she looks decent now. She's still lean, but it takes a while to build that fat and muscle back. She's riding around town on golf carts and, it's just, they're all good stories.
The other stories that come out, I hear this from the more outlying areas, and I think, Isabel, you had brought that up earlier, that when you get into the wilds of Wakulla and Jefferson and Gadsden counties and all that, those places don't have the same kind of resources that we do here in the metro area. So you all kind of have to jump in and help out with those guys, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you hear from out there? Because I know Michelle Vaught and some of these other people who have dealt with animal rescues in the outlying areas for many, many years. And it just seems as though they are up against it. So if anyone, wants to help them out, what do you hear that they need? Besides, of course, money, volunteers.
Yeah, I think it depends where you go. It does seem like Tallahassee, we've got these groups and we've got the people here. But then you go to certain areas and, there are counties not far from here that have no animal shelter, no animal control. Their law enforcement is limited on what they're able to do. And we've assisted with several of those, even just this year. And I think those are the type of things where those communities, you know, need to get fired up. And obviously resources are limited everywhere, but in order to make a difference in their own community, it can't just be groups in Tallahassee. They really need to seek out their commissioners, you know, potentially, you know, start up groups on their own. And
that's
everything
a great idea.
Starts small, you know. You can't jump into a huge facility right away, but without the community uproar, you know, things don't happen.
Yeah, well, like, what was it, last year, last summer, I think, when the Taylor County Center, when the AC went down and all those cats had to come at the Leon Humane Society.
Yeah, and we had earlier this year, we were actually contacted by a sheriff's deputy in Liberty County, and they had a case of neglect and cruelty on two properties, but they didn't have, they don't have a shelter, they don't have animal control. And she reached out, and luckily we were able to go out there. But it took really mobilizing their sheriff's department to realize that this is an issue. You guys are going to have to deal with this at some point. And props to them. I mean, they had, you know, they're limited on how many deputies they have out there. They were wonderful. They worked with us on it for a couple months. We were able to reach out to the ASPCA and get them on board to help with it. And about 75 animals, I think, in all, we removed from those properties. And there were arrests made on those properties. And it was because there was an uproar. And, you know, nobody gave up immediately. It was, well, here's another hurdle. How are we going to get through this? But, you know, like I said, props to them because those, when people are going into the unknown, it can be really overwhelming, but the only way to get there is to start small.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and Michael, that becomes a real, I don't want to say burden because it's a labor of love and all that, but on you guys, as far as being the major animal shelter control facility.
Yes, we are the only municipal shelter, basically. And I mean, really, we get animals from Georgia. We get them from surrounding counties because they don't have facilities. And even if they have animal control there, people will say, well, we're bringing them here because we want to make sure that they have a chance, you know, that there's a way that people can see them. You know, they might be able to be adopted. And of course, as you say, that does put a burden because we are a government facility and we're here to serve the residents of our community. And while we're, I mean, certainly we want to help these others out. That's not something that we're funded for. And, you know, there does need to be some more activity in that area so that they do have their own resources, their own shelters they can go to. But we do see a lot from the surrounding counties, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we do charge for out-of-county surrenders, drop-offs, we do charge a fee for that because we have to support, you know, since we're funded just for our area.
Sure, but if more people followed the precepts of Be the Solution, Jerry Phipps, we might not be having this conversation right now.
Education is really, I think, a huge key. Like, we recently were just putting together a sign with community, other community groups. We're in a trial stage right now trying to go out to high intake areas. Yes. There's a lot of animals coming to the animal shelter, so we want to reach out. And we were making a sign, and we all agreed that not everybody knows what spay and neuter means. Honestly, it's have you got your pet fixed? A lot of people. I mean, they're all over in the city, but I think in the rural areas, it's maybe more so. So education, I think, is really important. And if I ever get enough time, I want to get back to teaching, going in and talking to the kids in middle school. And because we did that when we first started, we had a little more time. We're kind of busy right now, but it makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids didn't know the basics about spay and neuter. And then you got to start there.
And as much of it still that old hangover that, oh, I want the children to see the miracle of birth.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some of it
still
is.
Hear
yeah.
It.
Some of the man, some, I hate to say it.
Could
be
ahead,
a man
Jerry.
Thing. Yeah. I think it's a man thing for a lot of people. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to mess up old Zeke.
I'm
there.
I'm not doing that to my dog. Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. But you know, it's not. It's a portion, but it's not. I think a majority. I don't. It's still, but it is. There's little things that hang out. I think they get passed down from family to family. You know,
right.
Generation to generation.
But also your local government. I mean, if you look at some of the shelters in the northern areas, New England and up that way, they don't have animals. They have to bring animals. I mean, seriously,
so
I know
true.
People. They bring them in and bus loads, and they've done prep warp and stuff ahead of time. But, you know, they're bringing them to people that can't choose them from the shelters. And why can't they? They have ordinances that require that they're spayed and
right.
neutered and licenses and things like that. So they're not like us down here in the southern
mm-hmm.
states. We're not there yet. But, you know, it's not just people that need to be educated, but, you know, the communities need to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only change by people
mm-hmm.
knowing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the same thing with the shelters that you guys were talking about that have no funding. People just assume, oh, they're in the animal shelter. Well, those little rural shelters aren't really shelters. They're
mm-hmm.
holding facilities
right.
for somebody to find their animals, and then they get put down. You know, they only have so many days
right.
because they only have so much space. People do not know that.
Right.
They think,
yeah.
oh, this is the animal shelter. They're going to, you know, I mean, some people do, but
I think
education on
yeah.
more than just,
it does
you know,
need to be up
It's
there.
The education,
yeah.
and some of it is even just educating people on what resources are
yes.
already available. You know, so many people will come into us and they'll look to adopt, and, you know, we'll have to tell them, I'm sorry, we're not going to adopt you. You need to get your animal fixed. And they say, well, I can't afford it. Well, number one, you know, there are vouchers available.
Right.
You know, we have vouchers in our office there, and we give them out all the time, things to be the solution. And if we, you know, even if somebody's coming in for pet food assistance, we have a pet food pantry. And if one of the qualifications is their animals need to be fixed, and if the animal's not fixed, here, we'll give you some food this time. Here's this voucher. This voucher needs to be used. And so sometimes the people know what it is, know it should be done, but they just don't know that the resources are available here
right.
in Tallahassee.
Right.
But I think you're so right, though, especially with the young, you know, the young people. Getting into the schools is so important. And honestly, a lot of Leon County schools, some of the private schools, and even some of the camps here have been so welcoming upon having humane education in the classroom.
Yeah, that needs to be probably a full court press. But
mm-hmm.
Again, Superintendent Hannah, hi.
There you go.
Again, it's resources. But yes, I would agree with them. And also just resources for people. We have an intake coordinator now. We're very fortunate to have that position. The city gave us that a couple of years ago. And when someone brings in a pet to be surrendered, our first question is, well, you know, what's the reason? Is there anything that we could do to help you to keep
mm-hmm.
the pet in your home? And oftentimes there is something. I mean, we have something as simple as, you know, I just can't deal with the fleas anymore. Well, hey, we can fix that.
Yeah.
And we can educate you on that. Behavioral problems, sometimes we can help with those things. Dog soils in the house. Well, you know, have you tried crating? You know, let us help you with that. Let's give you some resources there. And then also things like we've started a program where when you adopt a pet from us, we want to educate on the heartworm problem here in the South. And so we do offer, when you adopt, one time only, it's a 6-month supply of a heartworm preventative. And that's to get the person used to giving the preventative so that, you know, at the end of that time, you would have had time to, you know, get a relationship with your own vet, and then you can keep that going and get your heartworm test and so forth. But at least it gets them off on the right foot.
Perry, isn't that the Animal Shelter Foundation?
Yes,
that provides that.
Animal Shelter Foundation has helped us with so many different things.
Yeah, they got a lot of good programs.
Yes, there are many things that they're doing with the heartworm stuff. And we do heartworm treatment in-house now, too. When you adopt a heartworm positive a dog from us, then we actually offer that at no cost.
Yeah, the other thing is we're talking about the course. People have to come first, absolutely without question, that whole health care thing. But there is such a market for pet health insurance right now, too. And that is much more affordable in some places than it is others. And right here in this area, it's not very affordable.
Mm.
It's really not. It is onerously expensive. And that's something else we need to, you know, probably get into a discussion about as a society, and how do we make that happen
mm-hmm.
and get the vets
mm-hmm.
involved and everything, because Lord knows, you know, you were talking about Jerry, the folks at North Florida, and of course you got, you know, Northwood taking in Wild Critters, and
mm-hmm.
the veterinarians and the other
wonderful
animal health
mm-hmm.
techs in the area are just, you know, saints. They're wonderful.
We really folks. Do live in a great community.
Yeah,
lots of caring people and caring veterinarians. I mean, I feel fortunate.
And we're fortunate that our groups are have such open communication with with each other.
Oh,
we
yeah.
share resources as well.
Yeah.
With the food programs and things like that.
We like each other.
Yeah. That's right. It's worked out quite well.
Well, there's
a common cause.
Common cause. There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Peter Butzine. Common cause. And that's exactly why we were able to put together this panel today, because you guys are not in competition. It's all a collaboration. It's cooperation. And my gosh, we are just about out of time. I really appreciate it. Isabel Parker from Cause I Can Care Animal Rescue, thank you so much for coming in today. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
Jerry Phipps, Be the Solution, 10 years on, 20,000 critters fixed. You're going to have the little thing in there in front of the thrift store, 20,000 animals.
I'm going to do something like that. Yes, I will. Believe me. Thanks, Tom.
Michael St. John, Assistant Director of the Tallahassee-Leon County Animal Service Center. Thanks for coming in, man. And Lisa Glunt, of course, from the Leon County Humane Society. Thanks, Lisa.
Highlight of my day.
All righty. Ours as well. And our Perspectives program is brought to you on WFSU-FM. You had Taylor and Lydell doing the technical stuff in the background. I'm Tom Flanagan. We're going to have a run-up to a big deal here in Leon County next week on suicide prevention. We'll talk about that more next week right here on Perspectives.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.